Good evening, Biscuit Babies. On tonight's episode, I'll be joined with Andy Picario of the Unhealthy Scratch podcast and comedian. Very excited to get in and talk to him about the 2017-18 Pittsburgh Penguins. Two-time reigning champs. Should be interesting. We'll see what happens. Just wanted to let you guys know that this podcast that you're listening to right now is brought to you by Lucid Float Spas out of Mount Vernon, Ohio. Oh, just go float. First one is half off on me, guys. Just go in there and tell Chad you listen to the Biscuit and he'll hook it up. It will make you feel better. I guarantee it. I still need a few people to help me out with the season previews. I still need the Anaheim Ducks, Calgary Flames, Coyotes, Las Vegas Gambits, Ottawa, Buffalo, Washington, North Carolina, Minnesota, and Dallas. So quite a few, but not that many. We've been trucking through them. This will be, I believe, the 9th or 10th team just this week. So if you know someone or you want to come on, hit me up on Twitter and we'll do it. All right, guys, let's fucking party.
Now Probert got the right hand free.
He's loose with the right hand, and he starts to retaliate, and down goes Nyland. And the two of them are hammering each other.
Knights of Columbus, that hurt!
It's old time hockey, the way you're supposed to play. You throw a little lumber if a guy gets in your way. You play like Gordie Howe or Eddie fucking Shore. We can't all be Gretzky, some user Bobby Orr's.
The enforcer of all hockey podcasts. It's the Biscuit. It's the Biscuit. The enforcer of all hockey podcasts.
God help the fucking day if fighting's ever banned. There's a country we'll stop working on, so Batman's fucking can.
Hi, everybody. It's the Biscuit Podcast.
Hey, you wanna go? Yeah, okay. Good luck, man. Good luck to you too, buddy.
All right, Biscuit Babies. As promised, I have Andy Picario, comedian and host of the Unhealthy Scratch Podcast. Andy, how are you, my man?
Good, William. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
I'm good, dude. How's the weather out there?
You know, I'm getting used to it. I kind of like it to be a little bit colder, to be honest, but it's nice.
I feel you, man. I'm about ready for winter myself here. It can get cold any day now. It wouldn't bother me.
Yeah, you know, I'm done sweating. I just feel like I just sweat all the time, just always changing t-shirts here in L.A.
That's why I'm dragging my fat ass around with a hockey sweater on. I'm like, why am I wearing this and sweating?
There's only 1 month a year. I can February is the only time I can even think about putting on a hockey jersey, which sucks. That is rough about out here.
Dude, I've been loving the podcast. I'm so glad it's on iTunes now. It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, we're always a good year behind where we should be in technology. So, but thank you. I appreciate it.
Hell yeah, man. Well, we're here to do one thing and one thing only, and that's talk Penguins hockey. Obviously, 50-21-11, 2 years now you guys have won the Cup. It's been a pretty good time to be a Penguins fan.
It has, and of all the rosters to win back-to-back championships, I mean, since I've been watching them as a little kid, it's kind of crazy that these are the ones that won. You know, nothing, it's just the defensive core. It just has been a bit of a Joe Everyman team besides, obviously, the big two. So it's been so weird. Everyone's asking me, like, do you think they can three-peat? And I didn't think they could win two in a row. I didn't pick them to win one. I didn't pick them to win in 16. And I didn't pick them to win last year. And, I mean, to me, just a three-peat is just so crazy. I mean, the thought of having to go through the Eastern Conference again unscathed for a third year in a row just I don't think they'll be able to do it. I think they're right there. I just think that's too many hockey games to win 3 years in a row. But I'm excited to root for it, that's for sure.
Right. I agree. I think they're right there, too. And I think the biggest difference from, you know, winning one to two to two to three is they lost two guys, essentially, you know, after the 16th year cup, Lovejoy and Fur. And then now, you know, there was no way they could keep that team together with all the guys that were multiple cup winners and all of them that played so well in the playoffs. You knew a lot of guys were going to leave. And when you go through...
There's no comparison to this year to last year, I was going to say. I didn't mean to cut you off there. But, yeah, there's no comparison to losing, you know, Eric Farron, Ben Lovejoy, to losing Nick Bonino and Marc-Andre Fleury.
Right.
As far as what that does to the right. And the roster. It's not really, it's not the same at all.
Dude, when you go down the fucking list of guys... that's, oh my, it's hard. I'm not a Penguins fan. I'm like, oh my God, dude, like, how are they going to do it?
You know? Yeah, to me, the one that hurts the most is the one that hurts the least on the ice, and that's Fleury, just because, I mean, that's Crosby's best friend. They've been sitting together on planes. They used to room together before they both were veterans and got their own rooms. I mean, they, talking about the guy that's been Crosby's really best friend in the NHL for his whole career. And so, knowing that, you know, he can be a moody player, that one worries me. And then just the loss of having that third center. I mean, there's no way you can win without being strong down the middle. And to me, the number one reason why I don't pick the Penguins to win this year, the one thing I would point at, is that we saw what happened when they had no Jordan Staal for whatever it was, 4 or 5 years before they got there. Nick Bonino back into to win again. You need to be strong down the middle, and to lose a guy like Bonino, who only scored in important games.
Yeah, it's the only time he thought about scoring.
The regular season, he was one of the most average players for the most part offensively. I mean, defensively, he always gave you a great shift, but on the offensive side of the puck, he really just showed up in big games. And if you take his offense away from the Penguins in the playoffs the past 2 years, I mean, they wouldn't, you know, they'd be nowhere. That third center is so important that one on the ice bothers me and is going to bother them more than anybody. There's no replacement either. There's no There's no center they picked up.
Right.
Which I don't know if that was by design or what, but I don't think that they were hoping Carter Rowney was going to get third line minutes. I think they were hoping maybe Matty Collins signed back with him, so I think that was a bit of a surprise too.
That one was a huge surprise.
Yeah, I thought. Well, it was a surprise to me because I thought he either just re-sign or retire.
Yep.
Yeah,
I didn't think he'd go somewhere else and play.
I guess the way I understand it, as reading about it, was that it seems that the contracts were essentially the same, but it looks like Minnesota was a little bit more bonus incentive with theirs, and the fact that he was from there.
Yeah.
So it kind of does make sense in the end, but I thought he was going to retire or be back, and then when he didn't announce retirement, I just figured he'd be back. But and I think Rutherford did too. So I think it's a bit of a stir right now in the Penguins organization because that bottom six certainly not looking as good as it did 3 months ago.
Right, and I was reading today that it wouldn't be unheard of to see Gensel go play in the middle. Is it likely? Probably not, but if need be, he could do it. So, I mean, but do you want to lose him on the top two lines to get him down there and play in the third if he has to?
You know, I hate to put it into the way of whatever makes Crosby happy. I don't think going into camp, Sid would be thrilled if he walked in and saw that Gensel isn't on his wing, with the production they had. And Sid loves Sheary, too, and... You know, go back 3 or 4 years ago when I thought Crosby was probably playing his best hockey was when he was with two wingers you love, with Kunitz and Dupuis. Not necessarily the best two wingers he's ever played with, but the best line statistically he's ever been on was, him, Kunitz, and Dupuis. They didn't win any cups, but regular season-wise, that line was together from, I'd say, late 2010 through, 2012. That line was really effective, and I get the same feeling with Gensel and Sheary. I don't think that there's a rush to there's probably going to be another answer unless he goes cold in the wing, which expecting this kid to score a goal a game going forward is probably not very realistic. I think you have 11 or 10 or 11.
I think it was 11. It was unheard of.
Yeah, crazy.
They seem to like just farm big time players for big time games. They just got dudes that play their best hockey when they need them to, and it just seemed at least for the last two seasons.
Yeah, well, Brian Russ is another guy.
Who
never plays. It's not a liability at all on the roster, but never offensively is productive until we get to the middle of the playoff series, and then all of a sudden he's popping them in. So yeah, it's that weird thing. It's like, can they get these magic step up moments again for a third year in a row? There's just too many things that would have to go perfect. I mean, like I said, I'm rooting for it. I'd love to see it happen. I hate bringing in Ryan Reeves.
You do?
Yeah, I don't like it.
Oh, dude, that's like my favorite pickup on the offseason so far.
Well, to me, it was like if something's not broken, don't fix it. They haven't had somebody tough in a while.
Yeah. Right?
So I get the want for it, but you're also coming off two cups. And so, you know, I know that Crosby, you know, he does get into it a little bit too often. It would be nice to throw a little bit of deflection on that next to him, but you're not going to be able to play Reeves with Crosby.
No.
You know.
Very unlikely.
And so, you know, the scrums that happen, you know, after a whistle, unless you time it perfectly, now you're having Sullivan worry about all these extra things that the Penguins are supposed to never worry about. They're supposed to just play.
Yeah.
They're not supposed to, you know, push back in any way. And it's sort of like, it reminds me of the 97, 98, the Wings, the one that back-to-back. They didn't really have a tough guy. The whole team was tough. So that's different than the Penguins. The Penguins didn't really have a lot of team toughness. But I just don't think you need that guy that answers the bell. I think if he plays any more than just versus Columbus, Philly, and New York during the regular season, I think it's a bit of a problem. I think as a Penguins fan, we want to see as little as Ryan Reeves as possible. I think that him being in might indicate there's a little bit of a problem. For me, that bottom six, you won with speed and with guys that can kill penalties and block shots. I just don't see bringing in a cement shoe guy like him. It just doesn't make sense to me, but we'll see. There's got to be a plan.
No,
I just don't get it yet.
From the outside looking in, I go, I wouldn't have been surprised if Sidney whispered in Rutherford's ears, like, hey, you got to get me somebody. You know, like you said, it keeps Sidney happy. And, you know, even with Reeves sitting on the bench, you know, with his presence might help that team out. And like you said, there's games like when they play Columbus or Philly where he's going to come in handy. And playoff time. I mean, he might not be out on the ice a lot, but when he is, I think he's going to be effective for the team.
I think, and part of the reason why it's weird to me is that Reeves walks that line. He's really not an enforcer. I mean, he does give you an honest shift. It's not like it's Colton Orr or Steve McIntyre, any of these guys in NHL past who, you know, really can't play. I mean, Reeves is a guy who does, you know, I don't think he was a healthy scratch last year at all in St. Louis. If he was, it was like a message-sending type scratch.
Now, he played 80 games last season.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So he's a guy who's supposed to be in every night. Like, he's not a guy. So it's not like one of those things like where you bring in a guy who's just a hired gun. Like, Reeves is an every-night player, so you're consciously making the decision to be a little slower, at least on one wing, at least on one line. Because I don't think he's a guy who will be, like I said, will be scratched a lot because he gets his minutes. It'll just be interesting. I do think that the Penguins have nobody to answer the bell at all. And it's not like the NHL used to be where you have to have a guy that fights, but if you have nobody to answer the bell at all, then you can't even take the other team's guy off the ice for 5 minutes.
Right.
And I think that's been a problem. Obviously, you know, Tom Wilson is a big problem in Washington, and I think that if Tom Wilson wasn't on the Washington Capitals, I almost wonder if this move is even made. To me, that's who this move is made for, because Dubinsky's already, you know, chicken shit, so I don't really see him
being
more scared than he already is. Let's be honest.
Dubinsky only starts shit with one person, and that's Mr. Crosby. That's the only time he puffs his chest.
I had tickets in New York for years. I like watching Dubinsky play, but my thought there is that Dubinsky never really posed like a danger to Crosby and stuff like that the way that I feel like Tom Wilson does, because Tom Wilson can really skate. He really looks to bury people with their heads down. He's got a lot of hockey sense to him, and I just feel like he's dangerous. I feel like the Penguins are weary of him because he plays right on the line and goes over it, and he's on your chief rival team, which I really think the Capitals, being beaten down and no one expecting them to win, this might be a year where they, you know, make the bottom four and finally have a year for themselves. I'm not betting on them, but with everybody crapping on them, and with the East, to me, not getting, I don't think anyone got better in the East that much. I think Tampa got a little better, and, you know, I've already liked Tampa a lot. And I just don't think there's, you know, there's no reason to think if you're in the East, besides, you know, a very few teams, that you can't make a splash.
Now, I think the best spot from the Metro is almost going in the wild card and trying to get through the Atlantic.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, because if you get a wild card in the Metro, you let the top two teams beat the hell out of each other.
Yeah.
And then you play whoever comes out of it.
That's what.
Yeah,
Columbus seems just perpetually fucked because they have to play Pittsburgh all the time in the first round. It's just like, fuck, man. I would love to see any other team than have to play Pittsburgh in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, the reseeding, and I complained about it to no end on my podcast. I hate the way they seed the playoffs now. I know it's led to my favorite team winning twice, so I should stop complaining about it so much. But I do hate it. I mean, it guarantees you a great matchup more often, right? Which is nice.
Right.
But come on. It's not like playoff matchups were ever boring anyhow. But it's certainly no reward to play a rival from your division in the first round.
No.
It's just crazy. The 1-8 format with the three division winners going 1-2-3 was perfect.
Yeah, I agree, man.
But with the imbalance in teams the way they are right now, they need another team out west before they can really split the divisions in three again. So it's annoying. I don't like it. I do think that they'll change it once they get that 32nd team or whatever, but you know, it's going to be a couple of years.
Yeah, I think everybody agrees that the old way was better. It just makes for the final. I mean, you want the best two teams to meet each other in the final, not have to play each other in the first round. I mean, the games are always going to be good, but...
Yeah, and I know like everyone's saying, well, you know, last year and this year, the Penguins and Capitals, that was the big series, at least in the Eastern Conference. Maybe even you could argue in all the playoffs. And they had to have that in the second round as opposed to the third.
Yeah.
I just think that, yeah, the argument of the best team will probably still make it through is true, but you can't just make the regular season worth almost nothing.
There's no incentive.
There's no point. Yeah.
There's no incentive. You almost want to play middle of the road so you can get that third or fourth, fifth spot because you're going to probably play an easier opponent, you know?
I know I'm probably beating a broken drum here as far as everybody's been saying this summer, but to me, Sullivan is crazy if he plays Crosby, Malkin, and Murray, assuming they all stay healthy. And Letang, let's throw him in there too, as much as he can. They should get maintenance nights. These guys should not play because of the flu or because of, you know, some cramping issues. Like, they've been playing too much hockey. I want to see these guys be healthy all year, but I also at the same time realize that, you know, playing, you know, 250 games in 3 years, it's hard to have success.
I think the probably the biggest issue there is these guys aren't pussies like the NBA, so it's probably hard to, you know, get them off. Like, in basketball, you could give them the wrong shoelaces and they're not playing that night.
Yeah, you know, I think that the toughness in the hockey culture is the one thing that that hasn't left. I mean, we saw it with what's the kid's name in Wenberg and Columbus when he took that puck to the eye.
Wyshynski.
Was it Wenberg? Oh, Wyshynski, that's right. So it's like
Wierenski, I'm sorry.
Wierenski, that's right.
Yeah.
I get Wierenski and Wenberg. They're too young. Anybody with the same like letter in their last name, I get mixed up on the same. But yeah, just the toughness is something that I think brings everybody back to hockey. But yeah, I don't even really watch. I watch football very sparingly because I'm from Western PA, so it's the rules. I gotta watch it.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah. But hockey's really, yeah, I can watch any hockey game anytime, and that's part of it is the players, the personalities make it better.
That's a great point, man. After, you know, I'm a huge Blue Jackets fan, so I watch them, you know, every night I can. And then after that, you can pretty much turn on. You can watch the Canucks play fucking Las Vegas this year, and it's probably going to be a good game. I mean, there's always.
I don't know about that matchup specifically, but I love watching two games. I like it being out here because I can watch a game at 4 or 5, and then I can go out and do a set and come back, and the late games are still, you know, getting going. So it's been weird watching games, like, as it started sometimes as early as 3 or noon.
Yeah.
But it is, you know, as far as a guy who likes to get in a lot of games to watch, it's been nice just seeing some extra games early.
I wanted to go back to your the Tom Wilson, you know, bringing in Ryan Reeves for that. Because Tom Wilson does seem to really dig violence. It's like the way he plays, you know, he's into it, man. He's looking for the dude with his head down to fucking murder. And the Penguins didn't, like you said, didn't have, and I think Reeves is not afraid to, you know, to put him down if he needs to.
It's not even afraid, it's just they don't have a guy who, I mean, in hockey, especially saying in the past decade, if you're not a guy who fights, you're just not a guy that fights. And when you do fight, it's dangerous. You could break your wrist, you could get your nose broken. I mean, just trying to keep your balance, you could tear your ACL, it's a specific skill. And to have nobody that can do it, it really means whenever somebody has to do it, they're really risking their health.
It is bad for the sport when two dudes that can't fight. It looks fucking terrible.
It does. It's one of the hardest things. You know, I never really played in that competitive growing up, but I did fight a little bit. And it is one of the hardest things. I mean, most of the time you just fall over. It's a very hard to have a fist fight on thin blades. It's very hard to do. And I think that the Penguins just having nobody, like I said, who would be willing to nightly risk that.
I think
is a big thing, and like I said, I give up my problems with his play a little bit because he does bring that, and because he isn't a straight goon. The guy can, you know, dump the puck in.
Yeah, he
go get it.
He can for sure play for sure.
Yeah, he's a player. It's not like it used to be where you sign a guy in the offseason that is just, you know, Christoph Oliwa and that type era player. That's not happening anymore.
Yeah,
so it's not like it's like that at all.
Yeah, those days are gone.
It's still, for a team that's all about foot speed, it is an interesting move still. But
and I think specifically of, you know, the biggest stage, just the Stanley Cup final, and is it Evgeny and PK Subban go at it and have their hand quotes fight, and it's literally the softest gay porn I've ever seen. Like, they're just basically kissing each other. It's so bad. And I'm like, oh man, guys, just don't do it right now. Just let it be.
That was part of why they won to me, was the fact that they never bought in to anything over these past 2 years. They kind of just kept playing. I don't think that bringing in Reeves means that they all of a sudden buy in all the time to the physicality and to the chippiness. I love that. I love the fact that I really think that, you know, you being a Columbus fan, you're going to agree with this. I feel like if Columbus played the Penguins straight up and just didn't worry about bothering Crosby and Malkin, they had a much better chance of winning the series.
They
just played the game straight up.
Yep. That's where we died this year.
We
tried to bully, and it got away from how they were winning all season long. Like, you know, you went away from it, and it did not work for Columbus. And they just looked like they were trying to force something that they didn't need to do.
Well, to me, these past 2 years, I mean, Tampa in that series, in the Eastern Conference Finals last year, really, to me, had the blueprint for beating the Penguins, and that's beating them at their own game.
Yeah.
And it's another reason why the Penguins kind of struggle against the Rangers, because the Rangers are just always going north, always getting the puck up, always just going, okay, we're going to try and beat you with our speed and our feet, too. And I think that's what I thought Columbus was going to do. And to me, I had picked Columbus, I think, or I do think I picked Columbus in that series. Just because I didn't like – I thought the Columbus not playing well going into the playoffs was going to bode well for them.
I thought so too, man.
I thought they were going to pick it back up and they were going to turn momentum, you know, kind of naturally when the playoffs started. Because you see that with a lot of teams sometimes. And to me, it was just – there was just too much emphasis on after-the-whistle stuff with them. They're a good enough team where they can just win. They don't need to get into Crosby's head enough, especially with Bobrovsky playing the way he is.
I mean,
he has another year like that, then the possibilities for them really, you know, stay open. And I love Adam Panarin.
For the power play alone, man, it's...
I'm a Pittsburgh guy, so I feel like I'm going to get hit with eggs whenever I say this. I think Saad is good. I don't think he's worth the money, and I don't think he's near the player Panarin is. I mean, I guess he's obviously a...
Dude, I agree. I agree 100%,
man. He's a
big
locker room guy, and he's a big guy that obviously, look, I mean, it's clear. Jonathan Toews said, I want him back on the team, publicly. He said he wanted Saad back after Saad came back. He said he asked for it. So obviously he's somebody who, you know, people in this league, you know, find more importance in than I do. But I just think that's a no-brainer upgrade for the Blue Jackets.
I agree, man.
Goals and long-term down the road, with a guy that can shoot like that, you know, I think it's a big move for them.
And you give Sergei a buddy to drink vodka with, like...
Which is important.
Absolutely. I mean, he can talk to him in his own language.
Very important, yeah. It's weird that I, very casually, have gotten to meet people that have played in the league and been around the league, and the rooms do separate up a little bit. You got your European guys and your Russian guys and your Canadian guys. The North American guys kind of stick together, but it's sort of like if you only have one or two, it's rough. And a lot of people know that, you know, Gonchar, and without him being there, the Malkin transition would have been a lot. They wouldn't have been able to talk to him.
Yeah.
They would have had to hire a translator.
Oh, his English was dog shit when he came over.
He knew nothing. And without Gonchar sitting next to him and Gonchar literally explaining to him the power play, Gonchar explaining everything the coaches were yelling on the bench to him the first 3 years, if they didn't have that, the transition would have been way harder. So, yeah, I think that's totally true. I think that getting some like-minded and like-language players together.
Absolutely, man.
Can only help.
Absolutely. All right, Andy, you lose Flower to Vegas, Bonino to Nashville, Kunitz to Tampa Bay, Daly to Detroit, Hainsey to fucking Toronto, Colin to Minnesota. What do you expect out of this team this year?
I expect them to be competitive. I think that they have a real good shot to be in it again. But to me, again, if you don't replace Bonino, which they haven't, then I just don't see how you can be confident. I wouldn't pick them right now to win the cup above, the Ducks, Oilers. I think I'd pick the Canadians and even the Senators in the East over the Penguins right now just because of that. It's just such a big loss to me. I mean, the having the big three down in the middle, it changes everything matchup-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now you don't get that easy matchup on a third shift where you know that your third line will, have a favorable matchup to you. Now you know that there's a chance for their third line to match up one more time with Crosby's. It just changes everything as far as personnel goes for the Penguins. So I don't believe Carter Rowney is a terrible player, but I don't believe he's a third line player either.
That's the biggest mystery and the biggest key. Yeah. I think lucky for the Penguins, they seem to promote from within very well. That system they have in Wilkes-Barre seems to produce, very talented guys that can come in and play immediately. So I haven't paid much attention to them, but it seems like whenever those dudes are called upon, they, turn into fucking Jake the Snake, and you're like, what the fuck? This guy's got 11 goals in two periods? You're like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, we can only see. I mean, right now they have Greg McKeag, which is a great name.
Greg McKeag, that's his name?
Greg McKeag, yeah, I forget where he was last year. I don't believe he was.
Is that the best name in hockey?
Yeah, it's my favorite right now.
For sure.
He's the guy slotted for fourth line right now. I believe he was he's with the Panthers for the past few years. Mostly been in the AHL, but so yeah, there's a serious gap right there, and they have Carter obviously in the third slot in the third line.
Well, how fucking happy is he to get out of Florida?
Yeah, I mean, he was Florida, and then I believe he went to the Lightning. He's bounced around a lot, so he's been in Florida for a little bit. But he's got to be excited because I think that there's not many teams in the NHL where he'd be slotted as having a roster before camp started.
Yeah,
but the Penguins right now he is. So I don't really know what's going to happen there. To me, that third line center is still just, especially how big Bonino was.
Oh, God damn
shots! Forget the goals.
Yeah, that one was brutal. Shots.
Yeah, that one really hurts. Last year was like they lost nobody, and this year was like, it's been a parade of importance.
I knew it was coming, but holy fuck, did they lose some guys, man. I mean, but at the end, if Murray stays healthy and Sidney Crosby keeps playing like the serial killer he's been playing as, there's no reason they couldn't win the President's Trophy, and that's not necessarily a good thing, as teams kind of...
Yeah, they are one of those teams that have never won the President's Trophy and the Cup. I mean, I know a lot of teams have. There's a few teams, like Detroit, that did it like three times.
Right.
They've done it a few times. But yeah, it's never a good sign for them when they have a great regular season.
Right.
So I'm okay with second or third. To be honest.
Phil Kessel, day with the Cup. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Thumbs up. The only thumbs down still goes to Steve Simmons in Toronto, who's still complaining about it. It's like Kessel made you famous.
Yeah.
Nobody knew who you were. Yep. I mean, yeah, like you had a few followers on Twitter from Toronto and stuff like that, but no one knew this guy that well. He's and Kessel, he writes that article, which was incorrect, by the way, about Kessel eating a hot dog every day that he later recanted.
Yeah.
And Kessel, you know, took it a little personal, and then the fans started making it a fun thing.
Yeah, they really turned it on it.
And then Simmons, like, took a retweeted it and was like, man, 3 years later and still living off words other people said. Like, just kind of, like, taking a little shot at him. Like, he so has something so personal against him. But I think it's great. I think, it, you know, for the a person with the body type of Phil, I think there's a lot of chubby little kids playing wing right now.
Fuck yeah, dude.
That want to be Phil Kessel when they grow up. So I think that, like, he's just the everyman in the – I think it's great. I kind of wish he would have taken it back to Toronto, stuff it in their faces one more time.
I was surprised he didn't.
I'm surprised he went there at all last year. I mean, he had a lot of friends. He has a lot of friends in Toronto. Toronto is an important city to him, I know. But you know,
he still lives there, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. I know he did last year. I don't know exactly this year. It wouldn't be surprising if he had a place there. I mean, you know, I'm sure these guys have a lot of them have. I know Crosby spends a lot of the summer actually out here in L.A.
Oh, really?
These guys are all over in the offseason, wherever they choose to train. Yeah, there's a group out here that it used to be Rob Blake and a lot of these old school Kings guys in West Coast, Joe Sakic. These guys used to come out to Manhattan Beach and Santa Monica and train, and the kind of like differentiation has kept up, but now it's like Jack Johnson and Sidney Crosby. So the names are all different, but it's like, you know, this random hodgepodge of guys that come out and train.
Yeah, fuck, why not?
West Coast in summer. Yeah, the weather's great. Nobody knows who the hell they are. They
can right.
Go get dinner, whenever they want. You know, it's right. Sort of a utopia for guys like that. So, yeah, there's a group of like 8 or 9 of them that hang out at the beach and train out here.
Yeah, man, if I was Phil the Thrill, I would have went through Toronto in a fucking parade throwing hot dogs out, dude. Fuck them. Who cares?
Wait. Yeah, and you know, because the fans always kind of stayed with him. It was the media that really turned on him there.
Oh, man, they turned on him hard.
Yeah, and go back and let the fans enjoy you a little bit and throw it in the media's face again. You know, and it's just so – it's crazy. New York, Toronto, and Montreal, it's almost like, you know, what an honor to play for one of those franchises, I'm sure it would be. But at the same time, you know
– you can't nice – you there. Have to watch
they
your P's and
they
Q's.
They just ruin people.
Yeah. You can't live a life. You have to literally be, you know, what they want you to be. You have no shot at being a human.
No, yeah, and so I think that with Phil, with him being the, at best, number three most important player in the locker room, I think that he's really thriving.
Yeah,
that, so.
And I was never a big fan of him, mostly because of he just fucking always scores and it seems to always score on Columbus. But after seeing him with the hot dogs, dude, in the cup, I have two thumbs up on Phil Kessel, dude. That was fucking sweet.
Yeah, you know what? I When they got him, I thought he was. I didn't think he was as good defensively as he is. And I know that the Toronto not being competitive, the Phil Kessel that they were getting is not exactly the same as the Phil Kessel we see now. I think that he's playing with obviously a little more umph in his game being in Pittsburgh. But I think he's way more competent defensively than anyone gives him credit for.
He's a fucking competitive monster, dude. Like, he just seems like he does not believe in fucking losing or not playing well. Like, it pisses him off.
He is. He really takes every shift pretty hard. The other thing I think the Penguins really have in their favor is they deal with adversity on the bench pretty well.
Yeah.
They look like they hate each other.
Yeah, they sure do.
But Sullivan, I love how Sullivan has these little names where he calls it a man's argument. And it's like when you have, you know, two guys working together in a rough situation, no matter what the job, they're going to get in a couple arguments. And so
yeah.
he kind of lets them have that. And I think it gives them a fire. I mean, at times you would swear that Hornqvist is going to quit the team. He's just losing his mind on the bench. Slamming everything and everybody.
Yeah.
And then you see whenever he scores, I almost feel like he's the most impactful player when he scores in that team because he's got so much emotion. That bench just explodes for him. There's a whole lot of this. I think, you know, we talk about all the players and stuff, but without Sullivan, I don't think any of it's even possible. I think he's the one key that made everything turn.
Man, he seems like he's got to be getting a Jack Adams here soon, right?
You would think, you know, it's kind of weird the way they hand those out. I probably get that one wrong more than any other award I try to guess every year. But yeah, because Jack Adams tend to be like a reward for your past few years too.
So, yeah.
So yeah, if he has a good year at all this year, you would expect him to maybe be in it. But yeah, I just think that, you know, going from Mike Johnson, who was a good coach, just in a terrible situation, you know, his defensive-minded coach trying to coach Crosby and Malkin, it was just a really ugly thing to watch. And before that, Dan Bylsma, who again just I think was a guy that, you know, was lucky to be where he was. He won early and then they couldn't fire him. So I think really it's the first time in Crosby's era that there's a real coach there that I think everyone really believes in. So it really is a huge difference.
Bylsma, I could have won a cup with that fucking team. Like, that was those guys were firing on all cylinders, man.
Yeah, but that's what we were saying for years, and then they were getting bounced by the Rangers. Every year. Jeez, it was so painful.
Yeah. Well, dude, I think this is what I want. Just because I think this would be badass, if Chicago and Pittsburgh could somehow meet for the be-all, end-all, see who the fucking, you know, this generation's champions are, and then we move on, and, you know, we get ready for Connor McDavid to start fucking winning them every year.
McDavid versus Matthews. And I was going to say, the only problem with that is McDavid and Matthews want to get in there.
Right.
Yeah, so you're right. I think that in the next 2 years, if we could have that decade-defining Hawks versus Penguins,
dude, Stanley how Cup, huge would that series be?
I mean, it would be humongous, and the way that Chicago would just means ratings for the NHL. People just turn on games when the Blackhawks are on, and especially then that versus Sidney Crosby and the Penguins. Both have three cups. I mean, it would be so epic.
Dude, the marketing on that.
If it happens, every other fan base will claim that the referees force it to happen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We'll have to hear.
And, like,
every game.
What's the flight from there?
It'd be amazing.
You know,
it'd
Chicago to Pittsburgh's like, what, a fucking hour, you know?
It's an hour.
Exactly,
yeah,
45
dude. 45 minutes. I've done it a million times.
These guys would be so rested and juiced. It would be, oh, my God, dude. It'd be like a fucking movie.
No, it would be. It'd be crazy. And to have, the Kane and Taves and Crosby and Malkin, to have those, you know, four guys possibly go up against each other, it would just be unrivaled in anything we've seen recently. I mean, we never got to see Mario versus Wayne.
Yep.
You know, and so it's different because these are kind of the greatest teams, not necessarily the greatest player. I mean, even though one of them is the greatest player. It would just be something that would almost be too perfect. But, yeah, I would love.
That's what I want. I mean, I doubt it happens. But and to win three in a row is fucking insanity.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, it's just too – if Bonino was still on the team, I still would say I don't think they're going to win three in a row. Without Bonino, it's, like, impossible for me to even think it. I just don't know how it would happen.
I told my co-host, my younger brother, he's a huge Penguins fan. If they do win it, I'm going to get Threaves Pete tattooed on me.
So. Yeah, I mean, it would be incredible, and at this point, honestly, I would feel like almost greedy.
Yeah, fucking let someone else win one.
After they won in 09, I actually went to Detroit for that game, and it was amazing. And I remember walking out thinking, okay, it's all gravy from here on out. I saw my team, my favorite team, win one in my lifetime. And now, especially after that, this doesn't even seem real. I mean, I still feel like they only beat Nashville. I don't, or San Jose. I just don't feel like this cup is even registered yet.
Right. And like, it probably won't.
Head, I still think they won four. I still consider them to be a four-time winner. The fifth one hasn't even really, it's not registering yet.
Andy, where can they find you, man?
I will be in LA, but I will be the second to last week of September. I will be in Little Rock, Arkansas, and then the last week of September, I will be in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
Great,
so,
man.
And you can find me on andypcomedy.com. We'll have all my dates and stuff on it, but like I said, mostly West Coast for right now.
Hey, if you make it over to Ohio, for sure let me know, man. I'll come out and fucking, I love you know, stand-up's very intriguing to me. I play in a heavy metal band, so, you know, in between songs, I chirp a little bit and say some fucking butt jokes, but to stand up there and do that shit by yourself, man, my hat's off to you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's honestly, I've been doing it for a long time now, so it's sort of like, I don't know what I would do without it. But the hardest thing is having the TiVo hockey games. TiVo, listen to how old I sound. DVR. You can see I was all over TiVo when it first came out. I still call it that. But yeah, so sucks sometimes being up and away during games, but yeah, it's pretty fun.
When did the improv shirts drop?
The what?
Yeah, you're saying to your buddy he's like an improv troupe wearing the same. Oh. I thought that was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, you know, I have a little bit of a thing against the improv people sometimes. They're friendly. I just don't want them to use the same water fountain as us. You know what I mean? there needs to be some separation.
Jesus Christ. Oh, man. Dude, thank you so much. This was great, man. And let's keep our fingers crossed for Blackhawks fucking Penguins, the mightiest of Stanley Cup.
Yeah, you know, and then I'm sure me and Colin will give you a call at some point this year and have you stop on Unhealthy Scratch.
Hey, any time, man. Thanks again, buddy.
All right, thanks, William. It was a lot of fun.
Yep, you have a good night.
You too.
All right, my sweet babies. That was Andy Picaro, comedian and host of Unhealthy Scratch. Make sure to go follow his podcast, follow him on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, All the Biscuit Podcast. If you can't find us, Tommy will come by and hit you in the head with a tack hammer because you are a retard. We are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher Radio, Google Play Music. Fuck you, Spotify. That's the last time I'm saying it. I'm not even going to fucking mutter the words. But I'm going to keep applying until they say yes. The people want it. Let them know you want it. I want to thank you to send a thank you to Lucid Float Spots for sponsoring the podcast. Go see Chad. Take a float. Feel better. Don't be a fuck. As always, go to parkersplatoon.org. Donate. See how you can help. You know, veterans. They keep us here. They keep me doing the podcast, and they keep you listening to it. So show your support. That's parkersplatoon.org. Oh, it's hot as fuck, dude. I'm sweating my dick off. I love you guys. Freedom. Hockey. The Biscuit.